using our 101 books this morning. Hopefully you got a copy there in your seat. Let's turn to number 11 in the 101 book. Number 11 in the 101 book, Joy Unspeakable.
Thank you for his willingness, Lord. Minister to us your word. Thank you for him, and we pray for you. We give him worth of steep, Father, we pray. We thank you now. We ask for the safety on the way home. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. All right. And just with what we were just talking about, the sex song, I think, is very appropriate. Whenever we're facing something that is out of our control, and humanly speaking, we can't handle it, we're never alone. The Lord Jesus is with us. Number 22.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
for both the teaching and preaching, and of course the special music too. It's always a little blessing. I'm glad to have you come and part of that. Yes, ma'am.
Listen, I can't hold this back. I have a praise for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay,
this,
listen.
This week I was taking care of one of my husbands. Anyway, I was watching television. I don't know which is it was a newscast or whatever, but it was about this mother who had given birth and anyway, had buried this little baby. The grandmother was doing some type of ritual. Anyway, neighbors or something got up from the window and then found out that this baby was buried, and she was whimpering as they were digging the grave. And when they pulled this, they pulled this little thing out. It was a little baby girl, and she was you know, they rushed her to the hospital, got her to the hospital, and found out that, you know, she was all well. And then finally, they showed these beautiful pictures of this beautiful baby girl. She was just born and beautiful. And the praise is that God is good, and that God's miracles still are happening in our world, and that He's a sovereign God, and that there's nothing too hard, too difficult for Him, and that the Bible says in Psalms someplace, that when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And I said, praise God, because He saved that little baby. And lastly, there's another little baby that was flushed down the toilet. Little baby, newborn baby, flushed down the toilet. They, again, already found out, heard about it. They broke this thing apart and found this baby was in between the pipes. And this little newborn baby, nothing was wrong with it. Again, praise God for His sovereignty. Praise God for His mercy. Praise God because He saved those babies, and His miracles are everlasting forever and ever. And there's nothing. If God can save those babies, there's nothing God can't do. And that was my blessing for you.
Amen.
And I just wanted to share that.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Along that same line, if God does that for babies who don't know Him yet, how much more is He going to do for those of us who know the Lord Jesus is our Savior? Amen. So that's a blessing to know. All right. I have a card here that we received in the mail from the Andersons. And I would like to read it to you and share what they said here. Ray Street Baptist Church, Brother Freeman and Brother Sam Borso. They're talking about Jason and Sam. Anyway, thank you so much for your kindness and generosity to us while we were there at Ray Street. Thank you for the generous love offering as well as the additional money for car repair. We were able to get the car fixed for less than $600, and so we gave the extra money to a missionary we know who needed car repair. Thanks again. May God richly bless you in Christ, Brother Daniel and Amy Anderson. So that tells you something about their maturity. Okay? We promised them while they were here that we would take care of getting that car repaired, and where they had taken it, they weren't able to get to it in time before they had to go back. And so we gave them extra money to take care of that. Well, the maturity is in realizing, hey, we don't need all this money. We're going to give it to somebody else who needs help too. And so we already knew, I think, how much of a blessing that they have been to us in the time they've been here. But this is just another indication of God is working in their lives and using them. And it's a blessing to hear that. So anyway, that's their card that they sent, and we'll post that in the back if you'd like to read it yourself. Okay? So that's all the major announcements I have for today that I'm aware of. So let's get back to singing. Number 52. Since we're never alone, we can sweetly rest in the Lord Jesus. Amen. 52.
Thank you.
before our final song, before the special and the message, which is 59. While you're turning to that, we missed you in Sunday school, so we're going to sing happy birthday to Dory, whose birthday is this week. So we're going to sing happy birthday. And Kathy and Dory, please say hello to Adam for us and say it. Tell him happy birthday from us as well, okay? So I know he's not able to be here today, but let's sing happy birthday to Dory.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Glad to have you with us. It's been too long since you've been here to see us, so we're glad you're able to be here. All right, we're not going to take the time to go over it this morning, but we're still working on Philippians 3, 13, and 14 for today and this week. But starting this coming Sunday, we're going to be studying an extended passage in Romans chapter 10. We'll be starting in verse 8. So if you'd like to take a look at that, we've been working on it. So we'll be doing that for next Sunday. All right, 59, Heavenly Sunlight. Please stand for it.
Take it. Another road will walk to her mighty feet. But if he walks along beside you, I can take it, there'll be no retreat. I can take it, there'll be no retreat.
I'm going to do the other one too. Got another one here.
Okay.
I think we did this up here before, I believe.
Fourth.
Actually, I rewrote part of the verse on this. I got this song from the McCameys. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not. And it's a good song, but I thought the first verse maybe wasn't so appropriate to do in church. So I rewrote the first verse. The rest of it was really good, but I want to finish well. Another year older next Sunday, as this earth I roam. I've been 50 years walking with Jesus, and I'm almost home. I don't need worldly amusements, I don't need a money sack, 'cause I've come too far along this way to worry about things like that. I want to finish well. Finish well. I will end this race. Still leaning on His amazing grace. I want the last few miles to testify that God never fails. Don't want to fall down this cross to the line. I want to finish well. Finish well.
We have a Bible just like this. It's super giant in the back. Went along with the song. So if anybody would like one of those, it's on the windowsill there next to the carousel. And it's for sale for $25. Just put the money in the box there and take it with you. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. I know some of us are getting older, and our vision is not the way it used to be, and so having a super giant print Bible might be a real blessing to you. All right.
Yeah, I find the bigger the print, the better these days. Have your Bibles turn with me to Isaiah 26. I had two different messages I was wrestling with until I got here. They seemed like God said neither one of them. And so this one, I think, is what the Lord would have us to consider today. Isaiah chapter 26,
And this is a familiar verse, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Let's bow for a further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be here in the house of God again today. Thank you for this day. This is the day that you've made, Lord. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the blessings we had in the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the songs. Been a blessing to our hearts, the testimonies, prayer time. And now this time we have once again to look into your word. Lord, we pray that as we consider the word of God today, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Pray that the Holy Spirit might take it, might apply it to our hearts and lives today. Lord, you know each one here. You know exactly what needs that we have, each one. I pray if there be any in our midst who have never been saved, that today would be that wonderful day they would say yes to Jesus, come to know him in the free pardon of faith, free pardon of sin. And Lord, I pray as Christians that you would do a work in our hearts, draw us ever near to yourself, meet our every need. Do pray for those that are hospitalized. Pray for Kelly, Lord, and I pray for Chris. At this time, you know their needs. As a great physician, undertake for them, we pray. And then, Lord, for any other needs that we might have here today, Lord, you know exactly what they are. I pray that you would meet them as only you can do. And then bless now as we look into your word. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' matchless name, for his sake we ask it. Amen. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, the world out there doesn't have any peace. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24 about the end times, there'd be wars and rumors of wars. Someone came up with a figure, and I can't verify this, but someone said there's been over 14,000 wars in recorded history. That's recorded history. And really, at any given time in the world, you can look around and see conflicts. I mean, someone said this, you know, that the history of the world is a history of warfare. This world certainly doesn't know anything about peace, does it? And Satan is the restless one. You know, he appears on the scene in Job chapter 1, and God asks him the question, you know, from whence comest thou? From going to and fro in the earth. He is restless, is he not? And his followers are restless also. This is a restless world. No peace. And people are trying to bring peace to their hearts through all kinds of things, aren't they? Folks out in the world today are looking for something that satisfies, something that meets the need of their heart. And they're trying to find peace in all kinds of things. Some trying to find it in drugs, some trying to find it in alcohol, some trying to find it in amusements and things, possessions, money, all kinds of things. But the problem is, none of those things really satisfy, do they? None of those things satisfy. And religion. There are over, 20,000 religions, we're told, in the world today. And yet, in the midst of it all, there is no peace. There is only peace to be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I think back when I got saved at the age of 23. And, you know, it just seems like I would go from one thing to another. I would get involved in some kind of a hobby. And boy, I just go at it whole hog, put everything into it. And then up to a point, I realize, hey, that's not really doing it. That's not satisfying. So I'll try this. Move over here. Try this for a while. Go whole hog into that. And then that didn't do it. You know, it seemed like I finally came to a place where I realized I couldn't buy anything. I couldn't get involved in anything that really satisfies that inner need. But when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ in 1965, that met my need. That relationship with him met my need. Jesus satisfies. And by the way, he's the only one that can do that. So there is peace in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, believers, we're told in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, believers have peace with God. In fact, let's turn over there. Look at Romans chapter 5. Believers have peace with God. And I think maybe we've talked about this before, but it says here in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this peace that is talked about there in Romans 5:1 is an objective peace. What I mean is it's outside of ourselves. This is a peace that is declared when we repent of our sins and trust Jesus as our Savior. God declares that now we have peace with Him. That's an objective peace. That peace really doesn't have anything to do with how we feel. This is something God does for us when He saves us. The arms of hostility are stacked, and now we have peace with God. But then there's another kind of peace that the Bible talks about, and this is in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And that peace there is called peace with God. Look, if you will, at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that peace is a subjective peace. That is something that we feel. That is something that we can sense. The first one, the peace of God in Romans 5, is objective. It's outside of ourselves. Something that God declares whenever we get saved, that now we have peace with God. No more hostility. But the peace of God is subjective. That's something we feel. That's something we sense. That's something that's very real. And, sometimes people are going through a trial, and a very serious trial, and yet they have this peace of God. He's put that peace in their hearts, and it's something that you see. You can see it. And it's something they sense, as they're going through that particular trial. So there's a peace with God. There's a peace of God. Now, the peace of God, this subjective peace that we're talking about, is based on our fellowship with God and having our mind stayed on Him. As we're in fellowship with Him, we can have that peace of God. Having our mind stayed on Him. We do control what we think about, don't we? There are some things in life that we don't have any control over. You ever think about that? There are situations that we have no control over. Sometimes we get involved in an accident. It's not in our fault. By the way, someone said this, there are no accidents, only appointments, for Christians. But there may be things like that that happen. It wasn't our fault. We didn't have any control over it, but it happened. We really can't control how other people act sometimes, can we? We can't always control, what happens to us physically. Diseases come that not because of something we did, but we're afflicted nonetheless. But there are some things that we do have absolute control over, and one of them is this, what we think about. We have control over that. We can choose to think good things, think about the right kind of things, or we can choose to think about worldly things too, can't we? It's our choice. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing in Philippians, said, think on those things. Think on those good things, But this is something we have control over. And so he says, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We keep our minds fixed on the Lord. Now, in order to have this peace that the Bible's talking about here, we can't allow our minds to dwell on some things. There are some things that we can't allow our minds to dwell on. Number one, we can't allow our mind to dwell on self all the time. Now, by nature, think about this now. By nature, we're selfish creatures. That old nature that we were born with, we still have, even though we may have been saved for a long time, right? Old nature's still there. And by the way, that old nature is corrupt. You know, the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 says, I know that in me, that is my flesh, there dwelleth what? No good thing. Nothing in my flesh. And by nature, we have a tendency to think about self, don't we? Woe is me. Woe is me. You know, if I was to ask for a show of hands, and I won't do it, but if I was to ask for a show of hands, how many people have something you could complain about? Every hand would go up. Because we all got something, don't we? There's something we can complain about. There's something that we feel that we need. And we are so prone to concentrate on self, aren't we? That's a natural thing to do. But I know you've heard this, that the secret to joy is what? It's in the spelling, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. In other words, ourselves last. Think about other people, other people's needs. Get our minds off of self. You know, we can fall into that trap thinking about self all the time. And when we do that, we lose the peace of God, don't we? That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So don't allow your mind to dwell on self. Don't allow your mind to dwell on sin. Sin creeps in. And by the way, every sinful deed that was ever committed was first of all committed in somebody's mind. Right? Every sinful deed started in the mind first. It started with a thought. Someone said this, you sow a thought and you reap an action. You sow an action and you reap a habit. And you sow a habit and you reap a destiny. It all started with a thought. Every sinful deed that's ever been done started with a thought, didn't it? And then God acted out. So the man that has this perfect peace does not allow his mind to dwell on sin. Now, you know, as a Christian, and by the way, I've said this before, that we're the kind of Christian we want to be. We are the kind of Christian that we want to be. If we want to be victorious, if we want to live the victorious Christian life, every reason why we can right here. There isn't anything here that says we can't. In fact, everything here encourages us to live a victorious Christian life. Look, and by the way, turn over to 2 Peter. Probably done this before, but 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 1 verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us, what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, we've got everything we need. We've got the word that tells us what to do, right? We have the Holy Spirit living within. He gives us power to do it. So we've got everything. In the light of that, if I don't live for God, it's not his fault. It's my fault. I've got everything I need. But he leaves the choice up to us, doesn't he? It's our choice. Look, if I want to live worldly, if I want to live carnally, I can. I can. Now, there's consequences for that, right? somewhere along the line, if I choose to live a worldly, carnal Christian life, God's going to come after me, isn't he? Just as you discipline your children when they don't do right, God disciplines his when they don't do right too. I remember some woodshed experiences when I was a kid. My dad always used a switch on me, and I always had to go cut the switch. And I had to make sure if I got one, I got it big enough. If I didn't get one big enough, it was going to be even worse. But I remember those, and they were not pleasant. And, of course, when he said it's going to hurt me worse than it hurts you, I can never figure that, you know. But they were memorable experiences. But he did it because he loved me and he wanted me to do right. Well, God does the same thing with us, doesn't he? He loves us. You know, whenever God sends chastisement to us, it's not because he's got it in for us. Now, the devil would like us to think that, wouldn't he? The devil would like for us to think that God's standing over us with a baseball bat just waiting for us to get out of line so he can clobber us. That is not the way it is. He loves us more than we can ever comprehend, and he wants us to do right. He wants to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ to make us like Jesus. That's what he wants to do. So that means he's got to get rid of some things, right? He's got to get rid of some things. I know I've probably used this illustration here before, but it's a good illustration. Fellow's carving American eagles out of wood. And he's a real artist. I mean, he's making beautiful carved eagles. And somebody asked him, "How do you do that?" And he said, "It's easy. I cut away everything that doesn't look like an eagle." Now, that's very simple. But in reality, that's what God's doing with us. Cutting away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. Now, cutting is painful, isn't it? That's painful. Cutting away those things that doesn't look like the Lord Jesus. But he's seeking to make us just like him. That's part of the process. And so it's up to us as to how we live as Christian. I can live a carnal Christian life if I want to, but there's a consequence for that. But God encourages me in his word to live a victorious Christian life. And I've got everything I need to do that. Got the word that tells me what to do. Got the Holy Spirit lives inside. He gives me the power to do it. I can live him if I want to. Well, person has this perfect peace. He doesn't allow his mind to dwell on sin. And he doesn't allow his mind to dwell on Satan. Now, Satan is around. And he's our adversary. And he goes about as a roaring lion sometimes, seeking whom he may devour, doesn't he? He's real. You know, every once in a while, they come out with an article in one of these magazines or newspaper. Is Satan real? And then they'll trot out a whole bunch of liberal theologians to tell you he's not, you know. Oh, yeah, he's real. He's a real adversary. And he does go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he also comes about as an angel of light too, doesn't he? I think he may be more dangerous that way. An angel of light. And people get sucked into all kinds of false religion because of that. But don't allow our minds to dwell on the devil. You know, I've encountered people over the years and they talk about, you know, well, the devil did this and the devil did that. Yeah, he's around. But how much better to keep our eyes on the Lord? He'll take care of the devil, won't he? If we keep our eyes fixed on him. Don't let our minds dwell on Satan. Don't let our minds dwell on strife. This world is filled with strife. Families are filled with strife. Churches, sad to say, are filled with strife sometimes. And you can't avoid those things, but you can get up above it all if we keep our eyes on the Lord. I got a message. I'm going to preach here sometimes on the eagle. One of the things that the eagle does, he gets up above the clouds. He gets up above all the storms, gets up above all of that, where the sun's shining. And by God's grace, that's what we need to try to do as Christians. Get up above it all. Oh yeah, there's strife. There's strife in families. There's strife in churches. There's strife in the country. But look, sun's still shining. God's still on the throne, isn't he? He hasn't changed one bit. His word has not changed. His promises have not changed. And so if we can just get up above all that and keep our eyes fixed on him, what a difference that makes. Now, I remember someone using an illustration one time. The Israelites, if you remember, when they got ready to go into the promised land, remember they sent the spies in, and of course the spies came back, and 10 of the spies came back with an evil report, didn't they? Remember they said, well, yeah, it's a good land, just like God said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, just like God said, but there are problems. The people have chariots of iron. They got walled cities in the land. We look like grasshoppers in their sight, and we just can't do it. That's what 10 of them said. But you remember there were two, Joshua and Caleb, that said, it's true, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's true that there are problems there. There's walled cities. There's giants in the land. But God said we can do it. Let's go right now. Now, here's the difference. Let this Bible represent God. And let this paper represent the problems. Okay? This represents God. This represents the problems. Here's what the 10 were doing. Where's God? Well, he's out there somewhere, but I can't see him because all I can see are the problems. That's all I can see. Well, I know he's out there, but I can't see him because of the problems. Here's what the two were doing. Where are the problems at? Well, they're out there somewhere, but I can't say anything but the Lord. I got my eyes on him. He'll take care of the problems. That's the difference. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Getting our eyes up above the problems and above the strife and keeping our eyes on him. The man that has perfect peace doesn't allow his mind to dwell on scandals. Oh yeah, there's scandals around. Doesn't allow his mind to dwell on suffering. Everybody, if we're here long enough, is going to experience suffering, aren't we? Of some sort. Some more than others. I'll tell you, some of the best Christians I've ever met in my life are people that have suffered greatly. And yet they're some of the most godly people I've ever met in my life. Obviously, they've learned to keep their eyes on the Lord, haven't they? And not on the suffering. Those that have perfect peace don't allow their minds to dwell on shortages. Oh, if I just had this. If I just had this, things would be all right. If I had a bigger paycheck, if I just had that better car, if I just had this, then I'd be, no, you wouldn't be all right. Keep our eyes fixed on him. Look, he takes care of us, doesn't he? He's promised to take care of us. I remember preacher friend one time years ago. He was in a meeting, been a revival meeting, and he said it was in the wintertime. And he'd gone out for breakfast one morning, and he said he was sitting in the restaurant eating breakfast, and there was snow on the ground out there. And he said there was a man that came in, and he ordered a hamburger to go. So he got the hamburger. And he said he watched him. He walked outside. And he said he took a few bites out of the hamburger and he threw it down on the ground and walked off. And the preacher said he watched and he said this short time birds came from all around. And they're having a feast with that hamburger. He said, I was sitting there that morning, so I was kind of feeling a little bit low that morning. And he said, it suddenly dawned on me. God knew those birds were hungry. So he had that man buy a hamburger, throw it down on the ground so he could feed those birds. He said, no, that's crazy. No, it's not. He feeds the birds, doesn't he? He feeds the animals. He takes care of them. And by the way, he's promised to take care of us. You know, we worry and fret and stew about all the things we don't have. Sometimes, as a result, we're not thankful for the things we do have. Man that has this peace doesn't keep his mind dwelling on shortages or the things he doesn't have, right? And he doesn't allow his mind to dwell on the scoffers. Boy, the scoffers have always been around. You probably work with some. May have some in your family, right? We all know some. You know, I can remember when I first got saved, I'd get into arguments with people trying to prove to them this is the Word of God. And boy, I get so mad sometimes. Why can't they see that? And I finally got to the place where I realized, you know, you can't argue somebody into believing this book. And so when you encounter somebody that doesn't believe this book, the best thing to do is just challenge them to read the Gospel of John. You don't believe the Bible? Well, how about reading the Gospel of John? It's not that long. It won't take you that long to read it. And you know, sometimes people have started to read the Bible, and once they got into it, God got a hold of their hearts, and they got saved. Because this book is dynamite. Power of God, right? There's dynamite here in this book. And if folks will just get into it, faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word of God. I'm not going to waste my time arguing with somebody trying to prove to them this is the Word of God. No, challenge them to read it. Scoffers. There have always been scoffers. There will be scoffers until the Lord comes back. Look at this. Look at 2 Peter. I know you're probably familiar with this, but look at 2 Peter chapter number 3, is it? Yeah, 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 1. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. People that say, oh, well, I've heard about the second coming of Christ all my life, and he hadn't come yet. Yeah, I know. But he's coming. He's coming. And it may be sooner than we think. It could be today, couldn't it? There isn't any prophecy of this book that needs to be fulfilled for him to come back. So he could come at any minute. But don't allow our mind to dwell on the scoffers. And then don't allow our minds to dwell on snubs. Snubs. You've been snubbed lately? Has anybody snubbed you lately? That happens. By the way, if it hadn't happened yet, it will. You don't get invited to certain things. Somebody looked at you wrong. Somebody doesn't shake your hand or refuses to shake your hand. Nobody likes to be snubbed, do they? But guess what? If it happened to the Lord, it's going to happen to us. If they hated Him, they're going to hate us. Keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, right? Don't allow our minds to dwell on. We had a lady that came to our church years ago, and she started coming, and she only came a couple times, and then she didn't come back. And so we tried to follow up on our visitors. And so I remember we talked to this lady, asked her, you know, you were coming, how come you didn't come back? She said, well, there's somebody that goes to church there that I don't like. Somebody she knew. Well, I mean, that's kind of sad. By the way, there's probably some people in the grocery store you may not like. But you go to the grocery store, don't you? Don't let our minds dwell on snubs. We need to get above that, don't we? Keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. If there's a disagreement with somebody, I think as Christians, you can work it out by God's grace. And if there's somebody that maybe won't make things right, you do all you can do, right? And then you put it in God's hands. But we don't let our minds dwell on those things. Keep our eyes on the Lord. And then this last one, sorrows. Don't let our minds dwell on. Everybody's got sorrows of some sort. And by the way, we'll have more. But we can't constantly think about that, can we? That will rob us of our joy. It'll rob us of our testimony if we allow ourselves to dwell on those things all the time. Again, we have no control over a lot of things that come our way, right? But again, we do have control over what we think about. That is completely in our control. God's given us that ability. And so he says again there, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So, are you fixing your mind on him today? You have your mind fixed on him today? If you do, then you have this peace. If you don't have your mind fixed on him, then it's best to do it, isn't it? We confess our sin, put things under the blood, and keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus so we can have that peace. God wants his people to have peace. And here's a way that we can do it if we will but listen to the word of God. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to his word today. And let's bow for prayer. And just before we pray, maybe there's someone here today and you say, Brother Bob, I'm a Christian, but I need prayer today and I wish you'd pray for me. Would you slip up your hand? Let us pray for you. We'd like to remember you. God's people go through all kinds of trials, all kinds of situations. But if there's a need, we'd like to remember you in prayer. Please pray for me. Someone today, thank you, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Someone else today, please pray for me. Thank you, I see that hand. Truth is, most all of us need prayer, if we be honest about it. Someone else today, please pray for me. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. I think looking over the congregation, I would say the vast majority would claim to be saved, but possibly there's someone here and you would say, Brother Bob, I need to trust Jesus as my Savior, and I wish you'd pray for me. If that's true, would you slip up your hand? Let us pray for you. I'd like to remember you today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes the word and applies it to our hearts. Lord, I pray for these that raised their hand. You know what the need is. You know exactly how to meet that need. Lord, I pray that you would help us, as the word says here, to keep our minds fixed on thee. Lord, there's so many things that creep in, and sin tries to creep in, And all kinds of things try to creep into our minds to get our minds off of you. But Lord, we know that the secret to that peace is to keep our minds fixed on thee. Help us to do that. Lord, I pray for these that raised their hand. I pray, Lord, for others. I think of the folks in the hospital that you meet these needs. And I pray for the church. Lord, send the right man that you would have to be the new pastor here. You know who he is. You know where he is. I pray that you send him, Lord, in your time. Until that time, Lord, again, help us to keep our minds fixed on thee and to have that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' matchless name, and for his sake, we ask it. Amen.
Let's take our 101 books and turn to the very last song, number 101.
The very first verse and the very first phrase, living for Jesus, oh, what peace. It's there. So, let's stand, please, as we're to sing this as our closing song.
Study. So trust that if you're able to come, you'll be here that evening. Alrighty, have a great day. Good to see everybody. Have a safe ride home.